Praise the Lord. Amen. Is anybody a little nervous besides me? Amen. Been a while. Amen. Haven't preached a whole lot the last 8 months. A few times, not many. And hopefully Brother JR is like riding a bike. Amen. Hope I can just get in here good. Amen. We sure appreciate the mercies of God, and that has really been a big part of the theme here tonight, the grace and mercy and goodness and compassion of God. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. We've all experienced it, and that's why when the songs are sung, that it pricks our heart and we feel that lump in our throat and that excitement in our soul, because we've all been there. Amen. But we're not there anymore. Where we were, because of God's goodness, grace, mercy. Amen. We're so thankful for it tonight. Thankful for this church, your prayers, your support. Thank you so much for the offering. It has never been expected, but it is always appreciated, and we do thank you for it. Thank you for all of your support, prayers for the last few months, and Avery is doing well, but he's getting adjusted to being at home and getting adjusted to his little sister. And she was only a month and a half old when he went in, and she wasn't allowed to come to the hospital. And taking a little adjustment. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it takes a little adjustment anyway, doesn't it? Amen. I have a sister, and I'm pretty sure she couldn't stand me until maybe I turned 20 or so, and still wander sometimes. But Avery and Emerson are getting to know each other, and she's breaking him in, and he's just having to get a little tougher skin on him and put up with the hair pulling and the attacks that she puts on him. But I'd love to see it. Amen. Sat on the couch and watched as she attacked him, and he cried. And I know I should have intervened, Brother Whitley. I just couldn't do it. I was enjoying watching it so much. Amen. He wouldn't get hurt, but she was getting the best of it. But just the small things in life sometimes, and amen. All been under one roof. We just appreciate it. Appreciate your prayers, your understanding about our inability to be here. Appreciate the pastor and his wife, the support that they have offered, and the opportunity to preach here tonight. And my family, we have used our family the last 8 months.
All right.
They have been used.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad that they allowed us to use them. Amen. Glad that I have a family I can trust. Even my dad, as hard as he is sometimes, come down and spent several nights at the hospital so that I could go and get a little rest at the Rob McDonald house, and my sister and Rodney and Sarah have raised my kids the last 8 months. And Bryson and I were going down the road one day, and I was fishing for a compliment. Every once in a while you need to do that. We all need a little pat on the back every once in a while, and I hadn't had one, and I thought, surely my main man will give me a compliment. I said, Bryson, who's the best dad in the whole world? And he looked with a little bit of confusion and said, Rodney? Amen. I don't know what had been happening over there at their house. That was his answer, Rodney. And of course, I made a big deal out of it. He said, it's okay, Dad, it's okay. Didn't hurt my feelings, didn't make me mad. Just let me know that he'd been treated right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And appreciate Rodney and Sarah so much. They have paid for and raised and put their life on hold to help raise my babies. I do appreciate it. And never made us feel like that we were intruding on them. They just did it. And man, I didn't know Rodney was capable of being so nice. I knew Sarah had a dinner. The old Rod stepped up to the plate. He's a pretty good brother-in-law. But we just appreciate the support. I don't believe we could go through any of this without support of our friends and family and church. And we just love you all. And look forward, hopefully in October, November sometime, when Avery can get out. And I like to see him take his first lap around his church.
That's good.
Wishful thinking? Yeah, Bartley. I believe it could happen, don't you? And, amen, I just like to see it happen, but if it doesn't, amen, I'm going to praise him anyway, thank him anyway. Amen, we are blessed, aren't we? Praise God. I won't keep you long tonight. I have already been asked, and I won't tell you by who, but I have been asked if I want to keep it short and sweet. And I said, sure. And then Brother Thelman did get me to commit to preaching under 2 hours. So there's a window there. Amen. But we'll try not to keep it long. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Amen. I sure appreciate this church, our pastor. I missed hearing those little 10 or 15 minute nuggets that he gives us every service. And it's a little bit hard following him. He can say more in 10 minutes than I can say in 2 hours. And appreciate the man of God that's anointed and has it in his heart. And it flows over to us. And we just appreciate the passion of his wife. Amen. 1 Samuel, 16th chapter, verse number 10. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Okay. And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Amen.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, and he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And you read on down, and realize that David was this man, and Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, verse 22, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
All right.
The Lord would help us a few minutes here tonight. This title has meant a whole lot to me the last little while. I'm not a singer, but this song would come into my mind at times. And I'd like to use that title as my message tonight. I'd like to preach on standing on the promises.
All right.
Standing on the promises. Very familiar story, very familiar scripture here, where that Samuel was sent to find an heir to the king's throne, and he went to Jesse and he lined up his sons. And I can imagine Samuel going in there and looking at these young, strong young men, and they were lined up, and he went to the first one, and he said, no, this is not the one, and the second one, and no, this is not the one. And I'm sure that number five and six, really, their hearts started beating hard. They probably thought, surely I've got this in the bag.
All right. Come on.
Verse four, he said, no, now it's coming to me. No to you. The next one probably thought, wow, maybe it's my time to shine. He said, no to you. And then the last one probably thought, for sure, Brother J.R., the competition's basically out. It's got to be me. And he went to the last one and said, no, he's not the one. Do you have any more sons?
Come on, Brother Bill. Come on.
And Jesse, probably with a little bit of surprise on his face, said, well, I do have one more, but he's out tending to the sheep and probably crossed his mind maybe a little bit of, are you sure that you want to see that one?
Come on now.
Amen. Sort of how we judge folks, isn't it?
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Hey, we don't know anybody's capabilities when God's hand and anointing is on. Amen. God can take someone insignificant like you and me and use us to change the whole world. Amen. If we had God's anointing and God's hand upon us. And he said, no, I've got one more. He's out tending the sheep and probably a little bit of reservation in his voice. And Samuel said, go, fetch that one. I want to see him. So here they brought old David. Poor little old David.
Yeah.
Been out working.
Yeah.
Ruddy, sunburnt, sun withered, and just worn, and said he was a good looking boy.
Uh-huh.
But he's a working man.
Yeah.
Amen. Doesn't matter how pretty you are, you get to working real good. Some of those good looks tend to not look so good. But here he comes, and he lined them up, and I'm sure there was a lot of hesitation in that room, and they stood David there, and Samuel sized him up, and the Lord spoke to him and said, he's the one.
Right.
Surprised the whole room. Surprised David. Amen. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him as God's chosen one. And from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord was upon David. Well, then we look a little further, and there was already a king, Saul. And how many knows? We see it in our political realm. We see it in our just neighborhood government. We see it in our churches. Anytime that someone feels a little threatened, something rises up in them. Amen. We look at other situations and think, oh, if I was that guy or if I was that lady, I'd move out of the way and let somebody else do it. And it hits home and it comes our turn and someone tries to take your place or somebody tries to fill in where maybe you're not able to anymore, and all of a sudden there's something that rises up in us.
Come on, Brother Phil.
Pride, ego, label it what you will. We've all got a little bit of it, don't we? And they don't like to be replaced, do we? They think we like to be used, and we like to be what we think in our minds that we really are. We see ourselves differently than others see us a lot of times. But there was a new young man that has been anointed. And Saul, the current king, went into a state of depression, and God put this evil spirit on him that troubled him to let him know, hey, there's going to be a new sheriff in town. Well, Saul, with all of his power and all of his might and all of his resources, he said, I'm feeling kind of down. I need someone to come here and to play a harp for me and just make me feel a little better. Lo and behold, the one that was chosen for the second time in just one little chapter here was David. So David went. He began to play the harp. And the Bible tells us that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. There was a friendship that took place. Saul had a problem. He knew that something was going on. He knew that he had been battling from this evil spirit, and he called for this young lad to come and play the harp, and he came and played the harp, and that burden lifted. That evil went away. That trouble no longer existed. And because of that connection, then Saul looked at this young man and thought, hey, I've got a gem in the midst. I've got something good here. So we read where they continued to have a relationship that grew, and David married into the family, and they had a good thing going. And then the word came that David was the one that was going to take over the throne from Saul. Then things change. Bible says a friend loveth at all times. This is not a good example of that, is it? Now Saul felt threatened, and Saul knew that if David was the one that was going to take over. And we read throughout the rest of the chapters here where Saul, this went on for 5 years it lasted. Saul was going after David, and we read time and time again where David was running for his life and trying to get away and trying to figure out a way to get away from Saul. And then we go over to the 27th chapter of 1 Samuel. This is sort of where I want to go real quick tonight. I forgot to look at the clock when I started. So when I hit about 30 minutes, somebody wave a hand here, give me a wink, and we'll try to shut her down. But we read where David now in the 27th chapter of 1 Samuel. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. We had just read in the beginning of the chapter, of chapter 16, where David was anointed by Samuel, the messenger of God, to be king and to have that anointing upon his life. And the relationship was formed, and it seemed like everything was good. But then when the change of power began to take place, Saul rose up and became more Saul and less of God. And that evil spirit came back to him, and he knew he had to get rid of David in order to keep his position. And David, being a man like you and I, thought, hey, someone's trying to kill me. I'm going to go. I'm going to try to get away. And we find David here now saying in his heart that it'd be better if he just perished. Several times you read where David, this is just too much. I'm tired of fighting it. I'm tired of dealing with it. It'd be better if I just go ahead and die. But here's the thing that David forgot. David forgot about the promise that was given to him in chapter 16. The man of God came, anointed him, and told him, you are the chosen one. Regardless of what Saul had in his pocket, regardless of the resources that Saul had, amen, the only thing that allowed David to have any hope in his heart was the promise that God had already given him. David had been promised the throne. David had been promised the kingship. Amen. And it did not matter what Saul's opinion was about it. God's opinion's always right.
Amen.
His ways confound the wise. His ways are not our ways. Friend, and I'd like to encourage somebody tonight to understand and know that if God gave it to you, you can count on it and take it to the bank. David did not have to perish. David did not have to get to this place in his life that he felt like it'd be better off if he was dead, because he had the promise.
Right. Amen.
All right.
It already been given to him. It already been given to him. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. The promise came true. He just had a little hitch there in the middle. We've all had a little hitch, haven't we? We've all had a little hang up. We've all gotten to that place where in a revival meeting or in a camp meeting or in a Holy Ghost filled closet at home or in that special place where you and God get alone and just talk things over. We've all had that touch and that feeling that we knew that God was getting ready to do something in our lives and that God promised us or God impressed upon our hearts certain things and we stood upon that and we took it and we owned it and we tucked it away in our heart and we stood every day and thought maybe today will be the day, but then sometimes time gets between us and the promises of God.
Yeah.
Well, that was several years ago now. Maybe it wasn't true. Boy, isn't that when Satan really loves to jump on us?
Yeah.
That little bit of seed of doubt gets in our mind and we become just like David. It'd be better if I just be dead. Obviously, that promise never will come true. Years had passed. Years. David remembered what happened that day. David remembered being out tending the sheep and coming in and his brothers and daddy was all lined up and Samuel was waiting for him. He remembers walking in there and Samuel saying, "You are the chosen one," and get the oil out and anoint me.
Alright.
But somewhere between there and the heart playing and the marrying into the family and then the division starting to take place, David got down and then thought, well, maybe it just wasn't meant to be.
Right.
Friend, God is not able to tell a lie. Right. God is not able to just not tell the truth.
Yeah.
And if God promised it to you, it will come to pass. It took several years before David was anointed king by the elders. It took several years and several heartaches and several bouts and several valleys and several disappointments in his life before he finally got what he had coming to.
Amen.
We've all got something coming to us. Amen. We've all had promises of God. We've all had that feeling and knew that we've all felt that God just had something special for us. And I'm here to try to encourage somebody tonight. Amen. It may have been a day ago. It may have been a week ago. It may have been a year ago. It may have been a decade ago. But friend, you can rest assured tonight that God's promise, amen, is still yea and amen. That God's promise is still as true tonight as it was the day that he gave it to you. Amen. That God's promises, amen, will not expire. They do not have an expiration date and they do not run out. Amen. But when God sees fit to do it in his will and in his timing, amen, he'll show up on the scene and you'll be able to look back, amen, and say, "Thank God that I stood on the promise. Thank God. Oh, and I leaned on him. Amen. I've had a lot of bad news from then to now that you know what I'm doing, and I'm standing on that promise. And I know that God has got better things to do than just to give me a bunch of empty promises. Will you be there Friday at 6 o'clock? Yes, sir. You sure? I promise. Then you showed 6:30. You showed up. My opinion would be this way I was raised. My dad just believed it. Talk about that. He'd do everything to call you a liar, basically. If you promised it, it better be exactly the way you said you promised.
Amen.
Talk to him a few minutes. You'll find out. We've all given empty promises.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yeah.
We've all promised things that we knew. That we knew we may not be able to deliver on. We promised folks things, and maybe only did about half of what we promised them we do. Well, I guess you can sugarcoat it and say that you just, they were lucky to get what they got, but my opinion would be you lied to them. If you promised them something, you ought to pay up on it and make it right. That's a different sermon for a different message. Empty promises we've all got. We've all had them given to us. We've all passed them on to somebody else. Amen. And when someone gives us an empty promise and they don't deliver, Brother J.R., it goes through us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We have them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Amen. We just cannot believe that somebody would do that and then not go through with the promise. Well, friend, I'll tell you what, we're all human, none of us are perfect, and it's bound to happen if you deal with folks any amount at all.
Right.
But I'll tell you one time that it will not happen.
Right.
I'll tell you one time that it has never happened. I'll tell you about a time that it never will happen. I'll tell you about a time that it isn't happening right now. And that's when the promise is given by the very one that counted the stars, the sister Elizabeth. Given by the one that knows the very numbers of hair on your head. Amen. Didn't say that he knew how many were there. Didn't say he counted them. Said he knew the very number. He knows when 7. Amen. Takes that leap of faith and just leaves for the rest of your life. Amen. He knows all about it. Amen. And when a promise is given by a man, amen, then we really have a lot of reservation about it. Amen. Will it come true or will it not?
Or Right.
Amen. We might not always be here, but He will. Standing on the promises of God. Amen. Well, that's come true a whole lot of times the last few years in my life. Amen. Going through hard times, going through a little bit of feeling sorry for yourself at times, that song would pop into my heart. Amen. And it would go from my heart to my head. Amen. And just feel my whole soul, Brother Todd, standing on the promises. Amen. We have a promise, friend, that God will supply our every need. We have a promise that His grace is sufficient. Amen. We have a promise that we will not be overtaken in temptation, but that we can become overcomers. We have been promised that we have victory over death. We have been promised that all things work together for good to those who love Him. Amen. Serve Him faithfully. Amen. We have a promise that all that we can be forgiven from our sins. We have a promise, amen, that He'll be with us always. We have a promise, amen, that if we'll give it to Him, amen, He'll take it, throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Separated as far as the east is from the west, and never return to it. Amen. We got a promise. Oh, that if we seek His face, amen, that the Holy Ghost will come down and fill our hearts. We have a promise. And if we humble ourselves and pray, we have a promise. Amen. And if we come, amen, and become anointed, amen, with the oil, and we call for the elders, then we can be healed. We promise that if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, amen, we can tell the mountain to go, and it'll move. We got a promise, amen, that it's His will that all men shall be saved. We got a promise, amen, that He'll be closer than a brother. We've got a promise, and it's not from me, and it's not from the pastor, it's not from the Sunday school teacher, but we've got a promise that is given to each and every one of us, and the promises are all different, but the one that made them, and the one that will keep them, amen, is the same, amen, yesterday, today, and forever. What's your advice tonight? Stand on the promises. Closing, nobody's thrown a hanky up or winked, but I don't know, I'm probably 25 minutes into it now. Amen. We'll try to shut her down. Amen. I love this song. Can't sing, never been able to sing, probably never will be able to sing, don't have a lot of desire to learn to sing. Amen. But I still like songs affect our hearts. And a lot of times, especially the last few months, this song has come into my head because I remember that time that I made that in public too. There's a bunch of folks there. And I was up, and there were a bunch of folks there. And the devil said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. If you've known me long, you tell me don't do it. As long as it's not sinful, old Hosky boy will probably take a try at it. And the devil said, don't do it. You'll make a fool of yourself, don't do it. If it doesn't happen, they'll count you as a liar and a hypocrite, not me. Everything in the world, these are folks that love me, I think. And just things going through my head, the devil said, do not do it, do not do it. But I felt the promise of God. Amen. And I took that microphone stand like Christopher Columbus. Amen. Like to do on top of Mount Everest. I did it, Brother J.R. Amen. I popped that thing down. Amen. And the devil said, don't do it. Don't do it. They think you're a little crazy. You're going to convince them that you're completely crazy if you do it. I got the old hanky out. And I made me a little midship flag, and I stuck it in there, and I picked it up again, and I slammed it down again just to let the devil know that God made me a promise, and I'm counting on it to come true. Amen. You can call me a fool if you want to. I know what happened between me and God, and there's nothing you can say. There's nothing the world can say. There's nothing the devil can say himself if he came through the door right now to make me doubt the promise that God me what anybody thinks. I know what God promised me. You know what God promised you. Now the question is, when that promise isn't given, like a microwave popcorn real quick, where does your mind go? Doubt comes in? Huh? Fear comes in? Hesitation comes in? I mean, you can just think of all kinds of words to describe what comes in. But friend, if God gave it to you, my question would be, what better promise keeper is there in the world? They've got a group called Promise Keepers. I don't believe it holds water, that whole bunch of garbage. I don't believe it just has any cloud or validity at all. But I'm no Promise Keeper.
Amen.
Amen. And I've never known him, Brother Tony, to lie to me yet.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest. I will shout and sing. What are you doing? Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the Bible of this. Amen. Y'all go back to balancing your checkbook if you want to. I feel like I'm just feeling good up here, whether you're feeling it or not. Standing on the promises that cannot fail.
Yeah.
When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail,
yeah,
by the living word of God, I shall prevail. What are you doing? Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that I now can see perfect, present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes me free. What are you doing? Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. I cannot fall. Lifting every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. What are you doing? Standing on the promises of God. Hey, church, I'll tell you what, the promise keepers in the house tonight. Amen. And I believe, oh, that in the not too distant future, He's going to show up on the scene. Amen. He's going to fulfill that which He has promised to each and every one of us. Are you prophesying? No. Are you promising us something that isn't going to come true? Absolutely not. Are you trying to feed us a little something that'll make us feel good temporarily? Absolutely not. I can move a crowd about like a wind, just not a whole lot. But I can tell you this. His promises are yea. And we can stand on them.
Yeah.
We can stand on them. When doubt comes in, we can stand on them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
In the darkest times of our lives, we can stand on them. When it doesn't seem like there is an answer in sight, right there in the distance, over the horizon, is the promises of God. It's coming your way.
Yeah.
Just stand fast. Hold fast. Keep that faith. Stand on those promises. Not guaranteed. I guarantee it will come true.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll let y'all know. I appreciate the Lord. And I appreciate His promises.
Amen.
Amen. He promised He'd keep us. We're still here. He promised He'd help us. We're still here. He promised Sister Laura said He'd be closer than a brother, closer than a mother. And He'd be a father to us. And He'd be a mother to us. He still is.
Amen.
I lost my mama, but He's been there.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you lost yours, but He's still been there. Why? Because it was promised by God. Standing on His promises. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. He can say more in a few minutes than I've been able to the last 30. But I sure appreciate the opportunity. And I appreciate the promises of God and each and every one of
you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Now when you hear the word of God, the next thing you've got to do is act on the word of God. You've got to take more than a verbal amen. It's going to come out and say it in your heart. I believe.
Amen.
How many believe? I believe.
Amen.
I am a believer. I am a believer. I'm not ashamed. I am a believer. If I hadn't, I'd have walked away from this. The reason I'm still here is I am a believer.
That's right.
I would have thrown up my hands in disgust and walked away, but I am a believer.
Amen.
That he that hath begun this good work,
yes.
He that hath begun it,
yes.
Will one day finish it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Come around this altar and let us seek God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, church. They will get you a song if you feel more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
The altar and you are the essential ingredients.
Yeah.
You, the altar, and a believing heart.
Praise you.